I have a message tonight that I, those of you that have been in the church any length of time, realize that this is a subject I do not preach about real often. I usually have to feel led of the Holy Ghost to preach this subject. Amen. Not that it isn't a very vital and important subject. Amen. And tonight I'm going to preach on something that I've never preached on this particular way, about water baptism and the plan of God. And I want you saints to worship with me. If you believe in baptism, I want you to worship the Lord with me. All right? I want you to worship with me. Amen. As we turn to Matthew, the 3rd chapter, and starting with the 7th verse. Amen. I'm sorry, yeah. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Amen. And the 7th verse. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good. Amen. Hallelujah. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to be baptized to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? This was John the Baptist making this statement as he was bringing many out of the city who were concerned about his ministry. They come out to see an unusual man preaching a message in unusual clothing, eating unusual type of food. He was somewhat of a hermit that came out of the wilderness. And there were many that came out to see him. John the Baptist never performed a miracle, but yet he astounded the people to the place that multitudes come out to see him and to be baptized of him. This lets me to know that miracles are not necessary if you have the power of God in your life. The power of God will produce a miracle. The Word itself is a miracle. You don't have to defend the Word. The Word defends itself. Hallelujah. In the 8th verse, he said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into his garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Our Lord, tonight, we're so thankful for your wonderful presence that we have felt in this service. We're so thankful for the people that spent time in prayer before this service tonight. For we felt the holy communion of God, and we're so thankful for it. Oh God, we're so thankful for your relationship with us. Amen. When the choir sung, we felt the joy of God in our soul. And we're so grateful for the experience that you have given us. And Lord, tonight we want to share that wonderful experience according to your word. Lord, we ask that every heart in this assembly tonight would respond to the bidding of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! 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 In Jesus' name. This is a truth, Lord, that we value so highly. It's not just a ceremony to us, but Lord, it's more than just a ceremony. Ceremony, true, but it goes deeper than that. And we are so appreciative of the wonderful experience that we received when we were baptized in Your name and filled with Your Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints of God, I beseech you, just reach out and love the Lord a little bit. Just reach out and I don't care what your problems are or have been. Just reach out and love Him a few minutes. He'll love you back. All He wants is your love and your affection. He'll love you if you'll love Him. Amen. He'll love you if you'll let Him. Hallelujah. You may be seated. It's just a piece of paper. One teenage girl said to her father, when she was referring to a marriage license, "What difference does a piece of paper make? That doesn't have anything to do with love." Recent surveys have indicated that there's a disturbing number of young adults in our society that are living together without the benefit of wedlock. Amen. They say it's just a ceremony. They say, well, what is a ceremony? What's that got to do with love? What's that got to do with the necessity of marriage? It's just a ceremony. And so it is. That's the way of our day. So it is. That's the way of our spirit in society. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Praise God. I'm glad you're still with me. Amen. It's just a ceremony, they say. But I'd like to go a little further, and I'd like to title this text, "I Am in Defense of a Ceremony." I am in defense of a ceremony. And I think after this message tonight, you might know where I'm going and what I'm trying to say. I am in defense of a ceremony. Amen. One young adult made this statement, and they put it this way. A wedding's just like a funeral. You can smell the flowers at a wedding where you can't a funeral. But then fortunately there are some young people that don't feel that way. You know, when you fill out a marriage form, there are places to place there how many times you have been married. And I remember one couple, I was getting ready to perform the ceremony, but first of all, I was taking care of the legal paperwork. And I looked to the young man and I said to him, how many times have you been married? And he said, "This is the first time." And when I got to the young lady, I liked what she said. I started to say, "And how many times have you?" And she interrupted me. She said, "This is our last time." Now you might know why I'm in defense of a ceremony. Ceremonies are very vital. They're very important. And true enough, there is a ceremonial part and a side of water baptism. But there's a lot more to water baptism than just a ceremony, and I'm thanking God for it. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. What difference does a ceremony make? A lot of people will say, amen. I know our scripture tonight doesn't have anything to do with marriage at all. But I'd like to say that when Jesus went to John to be baptized in the River Jordan, He came to John with a desire to fulfill all righteousness. We can find that Jesus commanded us to be baptized. Not only did Jesus command it, but also we can find the disciples followed through with the commandment to be baptized.
John the Baptist sort of set the trend and set the pace for baptism. And when Jesus came, he followed suit and he was baptized. I hope tonight I can show you, according to the Scripture, as to the reason why Jesus was baptized, so that you can realize the value and the importance in it. Amen. Amen. Baptism is not only a ceremony, and is not only a very important part that you have to prepare yourself for, but baptism is something that requires you to do many things, one of which is to prepare for baptism. John said, repent, repent, repent. And some of them was coming forward, and evidently they weren't repenting, because he said, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. What was John basically saying? What was he trying to direct us to? He was actually the forerunner of the Messiah. And he's saying, I'm pointing you to the Messiah. Hallelujah. If you want him to be introduced into your life and transform your life, then I'm telling you, you've got to prepare for his coming. Repent. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. There's got to be a change in your nature, and it won't come about until you repent of your sins. And when Jesus came on the scene to be baptized by John, we know what the Scripture says, and I could have read a little further in the text tonight, and I could have explained a little more about what had taken place when John baptized him. He placed him in the water, putting him under the water. And the Scripture says he came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him like unto a dove. Amen. And the Lord of glory spoke out unto John and revealed to John. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, or I am pleased to dwell. Hallelujah. For the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and that was the dwelling of God in the sonship of our Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's let him. Oh, my God, we love him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, this is the way that you make your public introduction to society. You announce that you're going to make a change in your life. You see, Jesus was considered just a carpenter, the son of Joseph and Mary. But he was the Son of God. Oh yes, he was the Son of God. And he had to introduce himself as not just a carpenter, but he had to introduce himself as their minister. And later on, after his baptism, he walked into the synagogue and he stood up and he said, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach unto the poor, to open the doors of the prison, and open the eyes of the blind. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Amen. And he went everywhere doing good. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. So he had to introduce himself to the people that were around him that knew him only as a carpenter and a carpenter's son. He had to tell them he was a minister. He was not only a minister, but suddenly when John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, suddenly they looked to him and they knew what a lamb was for. A lamb was for the sacrificial purpose of their sins. When they went to the tabernacle to postpone their sins for another year, they were obligated, according to the law, to take a sacrifice. Many times was a lamb. And that lamb was to roll away their sin for another year. But when John said, Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, they were suddenly introduced to not only the Son of God. Not only the Lamb, but they were introduced to their new pastor. Amen. And so he was introducing himself in a threefold ministry. You see, Jesus Christ was both priest, and prophet. Oh, hallelujah. Priest and prophet. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. And there was something special about his ministry. And he had to introduce himself with a special way. And if we go back into the Old Testament, we will find in Numbers 4 and 3, and also in Luke 2, 23, that at the age of 30, every priest was to be introduced into the ministry. And we can find in Luke 2, 23, that Jesus was 30 years of age when John the Baptist baptized him in water. But it has a deeper meaning yet than that. Let's go back a little further in the Old Testament. In Exodus the 29th chapter, the 4th to the 7th verse, and Leviticus the 8th chapter, and the 6th to the 36th verse, you'll find that any time that a man was called into the priesthood, he had to both be washed by water. And not only washed by water, but he had to be anointed with oil. Whoa, hallelujah. Now I'm beginning to see something. Jesus is introducing the plan of salvation. Mm. You remember what Jesus said in John, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse? Amen. Nicodemus, I want to tell you something. Oh, Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, but I'm going to show you folks what the water and the Spirit means. The priest had to be washed with water, and they had to be anointed with the oil. And now then I'm coming, and I was baptized, washed with water. And then the Holy Ghost said, amen, this is my beloved Son in whom I, what? The Holy Ghost am well pleased to dwell in. Now we have water and Spirit. Glory to God. And so the Lord was introducing the plan of salvation. And those old Jews that knew that law realized what was taking place. Some of them folks suddenly left John and they started following Jesus. I've always wondered why it was that they left that miraculous baptism that John had and followed a man they knew nothing about that they thought was probably nothing more than a carpenter and a carpenter's son. But when those old Jews that knew that rabbinical law and knew what it said in the book of Leviticus about that priest, the necessity of him being washed with water and anointed with oil, they saw it happen right before their very eyes when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Let's love the Lord and thank Him for the revelation. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, somebody stand up and shout. Somebody stand up and shout. Somebody thank God for the truth. Somebody love the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Let me go just a little further with this thought. Amen. Aaron, amen, shared in that washing. Now Aaron shared in that washing. And Aaron was in need of that washing because Aaron was a man with failure and sin. Amen. But you see, Aaron was setting out a precedence and a type and beginning something for the entire priesthood that they had to be washed. Amen. But when our Son of God, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, walked onto the scene and introduced Himself, He who knew no sin, there was no sin in Him. The Scripture says there was no gall found in His mouth. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. He did not have to be baptized for His sin, but He had to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. There was a righteousness in that ceremony. Woo, hallelujah. You see why I'm defending ceremony tonight? Because there's a righteousness in that ceremony. Oh, thank God for water baptism in Jesus' name. Oh, let's love the Lord again. Woo. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this is the way a priest made his public appearance, his introduction, his commitment to God, his commitment to his call, his commitment to his responsibility. Hallelujah. And we're going to take it a little further. The Lord was baptized not only for righteousness' sake, but you see, he had to identify himself with sinners. He who knew no sin had to identify himself with your sin. So, as every priest was washed and anointed with oil, the Lord was baptized. Oh, praise God. What was he doing? He's saying, you don't know who I am. I'm the Son of God. God's identifying me by saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But I'm identifying with you. I'm going to carry your same nature. I'm going to carry the same sins that you carry, but I don't know anything about them. And fact is, when they nailed me to the cross, those sins that you've been born in, that I was not born in, because you see, it was the blood of God that overshadowed Mary. And she conceived of the Holy Ghost. And that holy thing that was of her was of God. So therefore, the bloodline of our Lord was from the Lord God Almighty, our Creator. Oh, hallelujah! And so therefore, in order for that Son of God, my Lord Jesus, to be able to bear my sins to the cross and nail them there, he had to know something about my sins, so he took them on in water baptism. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, I can see a beautiful, beautiful relationship of his greatness, his goodness, his love, his concern for you and I, and what he went through to pay the price for my salvation. Oh, I love him tonight, don't you? Let's sincerely love him just for a few moments. Just sincerely praise him for a few moments. Ooh, hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Baptism is a requirement of the kingdom of God, according to what Jesus told Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. The only way you can see it or get into it is to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And so Jesus introduced that plan of salvation, not verbally, but by his action. Hallelujah. That's the reason I defend ceremonies. Praise God. I'm going to go a little further as to why I defend ceremonies. When the Apostle Peter was given the message and the keys for the kingdom after the day of Pentecost, the second chapter of the book of Acts, the 4th verse, the scripture says they were all in one room, in one accord, sitting, amen. And the Spirit of the Lord entered into that room, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Suddenly, those Jews realized that there were Galileans, there were people there that couldn't speak their various languages. And they knew that a miracle had taken place. They knew that something had happened. Maybe they were drunk, but how could a drunk man speak a foreign language? My goodness gracious, I can't even speak it a foreign language when I'm sober, let alone when I'm drunk. Hallelujah. Now, I have been drunk. I did live for the devil before I lived for God. All right, everybody with me? All right. And some of you had too. You just forgot where you come from. You haven't always been saints. Maybe you've been so saints so long you've got to be ain'ts.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. I haven't forgotten where I come from. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, they're drunken, the Apostle Peter said. Amen. These men are not drunken as you suppose. Go down to the second chapter of the book of Acts in about the 38th verse. Put your finger on it. And he said, hallelujah. These, amen, hallelujah, are not drunken as you suppose. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days God would pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh, and His sons and His daughters would prophesy. Old men would dream dreams. Young men would have visions. Hallelujah. And upon your handmaids would be poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is that latter rain they just sung about a few moments. The choir was singing about that latter rain. I'm thankful for that latter rain, aren't you? Let's love Him. Let's love Him. Let's praise Him. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Yes, baptism is a requirement for the kingdom of God according to John 3:5 and Acts 2:38. Amen. And then he went on a little bit further in Acts 2:38 and he said, now here's what you need to do. You want to know what to do about your sins? I'll tell you. You see, the Lord gave me the keys to the kingdom, and now that I'm going to open the door. Hallelujah. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Woo! Hallelujah! Now you've got water and spirit again. You can't get away from it, my friend. When you talk about baptism, you have to talk about spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful for this message tonight. I'm thankful because it transformed me. It made me a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen. Are you thankful for that experience in your life? Let's just raise our hands and love Him. Yes. Some say, but that's just a ceremony. Amen. But I want to say ceremonies are important. Amen. Amen. Whether it's saluting the flag, right hand. Whether it's saluting the flag, whether it's presenting the baby before God and before a congregation, whether it's exchanging rings before an altar, ceremonies are important. Amen. And I'm sure you could ask folks that have been married any length of time can tell you the blessedness of marriage, as well as folks who have just recently been married. Ceremony is an important thing in your life. Let me talk about it like this. Sure, it's got to do with dedication. Sure, it's got to do with an act of commitment. But it also has an act that has to do with the community. The community. Everybody say community. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Many people think that they can be a lone ranger when they get to God. I've seen a lot of lone rangers. Man, they've played havoc with their life, too. They skit from here and there and jump from hither and yon. And unfortunately, they're a lone ranger, but they get shot in the back. But there's no lone rangers in this thing. Let me tell you something, honey. You got a mama and a daddy somewhere. You got a grandpa and a grandma somewhere. And we could go back far enough, we could get you all the way back to Adam and Eve. So you can't escape the fact you got here because of somebody. Hallelujah. And you're in the church tonight because somebody prayed you through. Somebody explained to you the plan of salvation. Somebody brought you to truth. Somebody loved you into the gospel. Somebody showed you the way of salvation. You're no lone ranger. Quit trying to be one and put your pistols away. Hallelujah. God didn't deputize you to go around shooting people anyhow. Let's love the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Just let me dance a little bit. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Woo! Glory to God. Thank God. Praise God. I see Chris and Sharon here tonight. Apparently they're not Lone Rangers. They might be in a foreign area. They're not in their home church. But they're not Lone Rangers. When they came in this morning, I was expecting another couple to come. And when they came in, I thought at first it was them. And Brother Barlow was expecting them to come. And I said, no, I don't think it's them. I think it's the couple I'm expecting. And after a while, I realized it wasn't the couple I was expecting, because I looked back there and all of a sudden I seen Sharon. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what it was? There was a unification of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You know that you are a son of God. Why? Because you can feel that kindred spirit. When you're in the body of Christ, my friend, there is a relationship. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. And the next thing I saw him raising his hand and worshiping God. I knew they weren't the folks I was looking for, because I was expecting to cast out some devils. Woo! Hallelujah. But I'm thankful for that kindred spirit. Glory. Woo! Let's love the Lord. Let's praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Charles, Sharon, keep up that Oikos ministry. Don't ever lose it. That's that kindred spirit. When you've lost it, amen, you may lose your own soul. I say, when you've lost it, you may have very well lost your own soul. The Lord said, ye are my, what? Witnesses. Thus saith the Lord. And there's just something about it. You want to be an oikos for Him. Let's love Him. Let's love Him. Ooh, hallelujah. Yes, say what you will. God is your father if you're in the church. And the church is your mother. She prayed you through to what you have. She's the one that helped you find your experience. Try to live without her if you can. I have yet to see anybody succeed. And the Bible teaches us that it will not succeed. Hallelujah. Oh, I want that relationship. I need you. You might not feel like you need me. There's some relation I don't particularly want to claim. And maybe you don't want to claim me, but honey, if we're in the same body of Christ, you better claim me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God. There's some of my relatives, you know, it's kind of like skeletons in the closet. We just keep that closet closed. But if it comes right down to the nitty gritty and I have to identify them, I might have to open it up. Hallelujah. And maybe you don't like somebody else in the body of Christ because they don't quite part their hair like you think they ought to, or wear the clothes like you think they ought to. Let me tell you something, honey. You're still a part of the body. Don't forget it. I say, don't forget it. You might not like them, but don't forget it. You're part of them. If you don't love them, what's the Scripture say? How dwelleth the love of God in you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's get back to baptism. Oh, let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Baptism is an act of community. You can't live in a vacuum. If you were forced to live on an island all by yourself, you could live for God. You could live for God. But if there was a body of people there and you isolated yourself, you couldn't live for God. No possible way. Anybody that thinks they can do that doesn't understand the Word of God. Neither do they really understand the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. How can you strengthen one another if you're isolated?
How can you pray for one another if you're isolated? Now, we're not going to get into that. Hallelujah. That's another subject. Hallelujah. I'm on baptism tonight. There's a song a few years ago, or not really all that long. It went like this. Me and Jesus got a good thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Maybe you heard that. I hated that song when I heard that. Oh, I'd flip the radio. You know why? Because it ended up with the idea that you didn't need nobody but just you and your little experience with Jesus. My friend, you are not an entity that's set aside, but you are a part of a body. You cannot be a lone ranger. That's the reason for baptism. It places you with identification with the body. I'm glad for the body of Christ. When I got baptized in Jesus' name, I said, I want to join myself with those folks, those unusual folks that have an experience with God. I need that same experience to deliver me from sin. And when Jesus' name was invoked on me over baptism, hallelujah, and in the name of Jesus, my sins was washed away. Oh, hallelujah. Let's love Him. Let's praise Him. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Baptism is an act of humility. Everybody say humility. Say it again. It is humble. It is a humble act. I'll never regret my experience in water baptism. This is mine. I don't know what yours was, but mine was in the Ohio River with ice floating down it. Amen. And it was cold weather when there was hunks of ice floating down, and we had to dodge them to get baptized. It was cold. Some folks have a hard time getting up here in this baptistry and get baptized. Oh, hallelujah. But you know, when I went down that precious water, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I felt an electrifying power of the Holy Ghost just saturate through my body. And I didn't feel that cold water. And when I stood up, oh, I felt like there was a ray around me, and there was just an electrical current for a foot or two around me. And I could stick my hand down, and it wouldn't even feel a bit cold. Oh, hallelujah. You know why? I didn't have my mind on the cold water and the ice that was floating down the river. I had my mind on Him. I had my mind on Him. On Him. Hallelujah. Because He was the one I was wanting to please. Praise God. Yes, there is a humility about it. True enough. Amen. Baptism, amen, has a humble side of it. Now, you might say, I don't need baptism. Well, maybe you don't. There's a possibility you don't. If you think you are as perfect as your Lord, then I would say you don't. But if you would be honest enough to admit that you are not perfect and there are some flaws in you, then you would have to say then you are lesser than your Lord and you have to be baptized the same way He was baptized in water. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Yeah, ceremony. Amen. Baptism. Amen. It tells us of a certain human character that tells us that we're not quite what we would like to be. Ceremonies remind us of certain responsibilities. And I'm thankful for those ceremonies. Every once in a while I get out my ordination papers and I look at it. Every once in a while I see certain things that I have committed myself to in a ceremony, and I look back on them and I realize what they represent, and then I realize they have a commitment to me and I have a commitment to them. There were 151 cadets at West Point a few years ago that was expelled because of cheating. How many of you remember reading that in the articles? How many of you read it? It was okay. And it was quite a disgraceful thing. So So they took a survey to find out why that many cadets would cheat on an exam when their kind of profession would demand something of a higher quality of their life than that. And almost all of them made this statement, and this was surprising. I don't know, maybe you've read it too. Amen. They were asked this question, what is the greatest factor of this breakdown? And they said it was the removal of a mandatory chapel service because it helped us maintain a moral code. That chapel service helped us maintain a moral code. I believe that's what a ceremony is intended to be. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. It's saying, I'm recognizing my humanness, my human failure, my weakness, my sin. You see, we can repent of our sins, and the Lord tells us to, because we're responsible for those sins, and we can do something about it. We come to the name of Jesus, and we bow down and say, Jesus, forgive us of our sins. We want to be forgiven for the sins that we've committed. But you see, there still remains another sin, my friend, that you are responsible for. It's the sin that you were born in. The Bible says that we were all born in sin, shapen in iniquity. That's that Adamic sin, my friend, that you and I have no control over. The only one that has control over that sin is none other than Jesus. This is the reason the Scripture says, amen, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. And my friend, when you come to Jesus' name, baptism, and you're buried in that tank, those adamant sins that you were born in, that you had no power over, are suddenly washed away somewhere in the Ohio River. Oh, praise God. There were some sins that got along the bank. Now, even though there was ice floating down the river, there were some of my sins that I was born in that was washed away. I'm thankful for salvation. This we do for all righteousness' sake, that we might fulfill all righteousness. Now we're coming back to the law. We're getting it all put together. We're getting John 3:5 put together. And Acts 2:38, it's beginning to fit together. We can understand why water and why the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, thank God. I'm thankful for the experience of the new birth. Amen. I don't know about you, but I was a terrible sinner. I couldn't control my appetite for alcohol. I understand, amen, that the couple from Flint, Michigan, this brother, had somewhat of the same problem, even other problems, amen. But thank God, God delivered him. Hallelujah. And He'll deliver you, my friend. Many of you here tonight that have been alcoholics that the Lord has delivered. Praise God. Yes, our Adamic sins, we are responsible to give them to Jesus, and only Jesus can do anything with them. Amen. No wonder the writer said in the Old Testament, choose you this day whom you will serve. Praise God. I'd like to point out something that I read not too long ago. Abraham Lincoln made a statement about the fact that he could get any number of men to give their last drop of blood, but he found it very difficult to find men that would give their first drop of blood. You ask somebody, you know, yes, I'll give every ounce of my blood. But what about getting the first drop? Abraham Lincoln hit a nail in the head when he said that. Zig Ziglar said, you can take the biggest locomotive in the world, amen, and take a 1-inch block and put it in front of all 8 of those power wheels, and you can keep that train powerless. That locomotive won't go anywhere. But you get that train to moving 100 miles an hour, and it'll go through a 15-foot wall embankment of brick and steel. It's just getting the thing moving. My friend, when you start making your move to God, That's not the ultimate, but that's the beginning. Woo, hallelujah. That's just the start. Praise God. Maybe some folks found the ultimate, but I didn't. There's heights that I haven't got to yet. There's breadths I haven't got to yet. I want to take you a little further tonight. And there's some scriptures I want to read found in 1 Peter 3:21. This is the censure. When I used to help do electrical work with my father right after I came home from the war, the Army, World War, after World War II was over, I came home from the Army. I was working with my father in electrical work. And we would put boxes, electrical boxes, at certain heights, maybe where the plug-ins were or where the switches were. And we would nail in the 2x4 studs in order for them to make sure that they wouldn't be pulled out by some other laborer that would come and do another job. We would call cinching it. We'd drive the nails over. I want to cinch it tonight. Hallelujah. I feel compelled of the Holy Ghost to cinch it. Praise God. 1 Peter 3:21. Now I want you to read this real slow. Praise God, because it will substantiate and it will prove to us what John 3:5 and Acts 2:38 is saying, and why Jesus was baptized of John and said to him, we must fulfill, amen, all righteousness. Amen. I wish I was tangled up in the Holy Ghost like this silly wire gets tangled up. Hallelujah. Free.
The like figure whereunto even baptism. Okay.
Okay.
I'll back off.
Back off a little. All right. The like figure. What?
Whereunto.
All right.
Even baptism.
Yeah.
Doth also now save us.
Oh, baptism does what?
Save us.
Woo! Hallelujah. Now you'll notice the next words that you'll find in your Bible will have an
parentheses.
I'll get it. Hallelujah. I don't think I've lost it all. Oh, hallelujah.
Breathe.
And that means men had added to the original text the next words because they tried to do away with the importance of the ceremony of baptism, just like people are trying to do away with it today, my friend. Reed.
Right. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer. I'm sorry, I missed it here. But the answer of a good conscience toward God.
Hallelujah. All right. Now let's go back and read that scripture and forget about those verses. A scripture that are in parentheses.
Okay.
Right. Just go and read the first and the last, and let's see what the scripture originally says.
The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us.
Okay.
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Our baptism means the same thing as Jesus' baptism. The only thing our Lord had given His name. He said, I come in my Father's name. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. What was that name? The angel of the Lord said, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins.
Amen.
Before the name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved, other than the name of Jesus. And when Jesus went to the cross and was placed in the tomb and came forth victorious and triumphantly after the third day, praise God, that means His name means to me deliverance and salvation. For He's the one I'm going to see in heaven. Woo! Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that name?
Yes, amen.
Let's just say it together. Jesus.
Jesus.
I say it again.
Jesus.
I say it again.
Jesus.
Ooh, hallelujah. Let's take it a little further. In 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, we can find that Paul was talking about Israel's baptism. Yes, Israel was baptized. The scripture says that they were baptized under Moses' baptism. And then
They were baptized. You see, Moses was saved by water, just like Noah. Going back to 1 Peter, that scripture has to do with Noah. Noah was saved by water and his household. Hallelujah. True enough, they got in that boat and it began to rain. But if they tell you something, they were in the boat. If you're in the truth tonight, praise God, the floods may come, but you'll ride above the storms, honey.
Right.
Woo,
right.
Hallelujah. I say you'll ride above
praise
the storms.
The
Noah was saved by water, and so was Moses. Moses was saved by water. He was caught. He was put in a bulrush, or a little basket made by his mother. Amen. And watched over by his sister. And while he was on the Nile River, the scripture says they were all baptized unto Moses' baptism. Read, if you would, please.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud.
All of our fathers, all of Israel was under the cloud. Read.
And all passed through the sea.
And all passed through the sea. They went through the sea together. The Red Sea, they went through together. And not only the Red Sea, but they went across the next sea. Amen. With Joshua into the promised land. Read.
Yes. And were all baptized.
And were all baptized.
Unto Moses.
Unto Moses.
In the cloud.
In the sea. And in the sea. Now he says, I want to explain just a little bit of something. You didn't realize the rock you was drinking from. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you who he was. Let me explain it to you. Read on.
And did all eat the same spiritual meat.
Oh, you're all eating the same spiritual meat tonight because
right.
of him. And all drink of that same spiritual rock. Read.
And did all drink the same spiritual drink.
All right.
For they drank of that
spiritual rock
that,
which was
that followed them.
Wait just a minute. Honey, I want to tell you something. When you get in the family of God, and when you're baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, there is an angel following you.
Yes.
And the Lord of glory is watching over you.
Right.
And when you need a good drink, he's there to drink.
That's right.
And when you need food, he's there to give you all the food you need.
Yes.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
That manna in the Old Testament represented anything they wanted. They got tired of one kind of food. They wanted something else. And God just let it taste just like they wanted it to taste.
Sure.
Oh, that's my Lord. I say, that's my Lord.
Amen.
I say, that's my Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Read. Oh, hallelujah.
And that rock
and that
was
rock.
Christ.
God. Everybody
praise
say his
the
name
Lord.
Together.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Let's say it again. Jesus.
Jesus.
Let's say it again. Jesus.
Jesus.
Ooh, hallelujah. 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 We can find now why Mark wrote these scriptures in 16th chapter and the 16th verse. Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Israel was saved this way. Noah was saved this way. Jesus left us a plan whereby we can be saved the same way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Take it a little bit further if you would. In Acts the 10th chapter and the 48th verse, we'll find that the Apostle Peter was commanded of the Lord by an angel to go down and visit Cornelius and preach to him. The Apostle Peter had a difficult time believing that those Gentiles were worthy of the message of salvation. Finally, after he got his pride and his religious ideas laid aside for a few moments, he went down there. I'll tell you something. Religious ideas can really keep you from the power of God. It can really keep you from obeying God. Amen. Sometimes your so-called friends that get you so philosophized in the Word of God, amen, are not really concerned about your salvation. They're only concerned about getting you into an ideology or a theory. Amen. Praise God. I want to get you in the body of Christ. That's your only hope.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. We're all sinners. We're all saved by grace. It was God's grace and mercy that helped me. And I know that the only thing that can help you is God's grace and mercy. I can't help you if I indoctrinate you into something that's just a philosophy or just an idea. All we can say is you have been indoctrinated. But if you can have an experience in Him, you'll be a changed creature.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Woo! Hallelujah. And so, Peter got down there and he got to preaching to him. And as he looked at him, old Apostle Peter, And all of a sudden, he stood back. What's happening? Man, these folks are acting like we did in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Hey, John, did you see this? Mark, did you see this? It's the same thing's happening to them. Oh, I can't believe it. They're getting the Holy Ghost. They're speaking in other tongues. Just like we did in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Listen, how do you know? Well, don't you hear them? I hear them. Woo, hallelujah. I know it because I hear them speaking with other tongues just like we did.
Yes, amen.
How can we deny what God is doing? Hallelujah. Read Acts 10 and 48.
And He commanded them to be baptized.
Woo.
In the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
And all of a sudden, after they got full of the Holy Ghost, Apostle Peter said, well, who are we to withstand God? How can we argue against what God's doing? And he turned around and he commanded Cornelius to be baptized. Why didn't Cornelius, if that was wrong, why didn't Cornelius have enough gumption to stand up and say something? I'll tell you why he didn't. Let's go over the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, and we'll find out why. The 11th chapter and the 14th verse. Amen. Before you read it, I want to explain it. The Lord was dealing with Cornelius. He was a good man. There are a lot of good people that really want God. They're hungry. They're sincere. Amen. They're really good, hungry, sincere people. Amen. And they just need to know the truth of the Lord. That's all. They just need to know the truth of the Lord. Praise God. And so, in his prayer and his fasting, the angel of the Lord said, now, Cornelius, you go down and you send for the apostle Peter, who will tell thee words whereby thou and thy household shall be saved, saved. And when the apostle Peter, after they received the Holy Ghost, told them, and commanded them, get baptized. Get baptized. Those old boys couldn't argue with God. He remembered what the angel told him. The angel told me that that man is going to come down and preach to me, is going to tell me and my household how to get saved. I can't argue with facts. I can't argue with an experience. Hallelujah. The young couple from Flint, Michigan has had a wonderful experience. They give me their testimony. I'd like for them to stand and testify just in a few minutes. I want them to testify. I want them to tell you just how good God has been to them. You can't argue with their experience. They've been a long ways off. And there's some of you sitting here tonight, if it wasn't for the power of God, you'd be in the depths. And the degradation, and the sin, and the corruption, and all the contaminations of the world. You might be out there on drugs and alcohol. It's surprising to me. I've had parents call up and say, don't get my child vaccinated with that thing called the Holy Ghost. My Lord. It's all right, honey, if you go out and drink, as long as you don't bother anybody. Baloney. That's garbage. It's all right, honey, to go out and shoot a little dope and have a good time as long as you don't hurt anybody else. Garbage. Hogwash is what it is. Same kind of hogwash we studied about in Sunday school lesson today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. And some folks rather have a dollar and a hog than they would Jesus. Oh, God. Amen. But don't go down to that church and get inoculated. Now, they think it's an inoculation. Let me tell you something. It's not a vaccination. Too many folks got vaccinated. You know what a vaccination is?
A vaccination is just a little bit of shot of that serum that would be the same thing as that sickness. But it will keep you from getting the real thing. I want to tell you something. Baptism is not an inoculation. And baptism is an experience that will transform you. It'll make you want to go deeper and higher. It'll make you want to get more in love with Jesus. If it just gives you enough, they'll say, oh, honey, it's all right to get religious, but let's don't get too religious. Let's don't go praying too much. Amen. Let's don't go to church too often. You know, you might have a nervous breakdown. If you don't go, my friend, you're liable to have a nervous breakdown with the way this world's in. Woo! The only sanity I've got is in the Holy Ghost. I say the only sanity I've got is in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel something moving here. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Brother Enos, why don't you stand and praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
With him. Let's thank God for his experience. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. He was wanting something. He was wanting a church that had power and had the truth of God. And somebody knocked on his door and somebody said, I want to give you a Bible study in your home. And they committed to that Bible study. But they were having a service before they had arrangements for the Bible study. They went to the service. They found the power of God. They began to move towards God. It wasn't very long they repented. It wasn't very long they got baptized. It wasn't very long they got the Holy Ghost. It wasn't very long they got married. Let me tell you, I believe in ceremony. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe in ceremony. Woo! Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord together tonight. Let's love the Lord together. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Let's sing a chorus.
Baptized in His name, saved by His power. I'm baptized in His name, and saved by His power. Baptized in His name, saved by His power. Jesus is my home in all. Oh, yes, I'm baptized in His name and saved by His power.
I'm baptized in His name and saved by His power.
I better use another nail to cinch it with. For we find in Acts the 22nd chapter and the 16th verse, after Saul was smitten down on the road to Damascus, blinded with scales on his eyes, a man was sent of the Lord down to direct him and what he needed to be done, needed to do. And Ananias approached him. And he said, "Why tarriest thou, Paul?" Which was Saul, is his name at that time. "Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Thank God for another nail. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus, our King, our Prophet, and our priest set us the example when he was baptized by John. Little did we realize when he was baptized, when we look back into the Word of God, the great significance it had in relationship to our baptism. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm so thankful that one day I realized I wasn't any more righteous than my Lord, that I was born in sin. That I had some adamant sins that I had to get rid of, that all my prayers couldn't take care of. But when I found that lovely name was invoked over me in baptism, it was all washed away. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's love Him. Let's love Him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want us to sing that chorus tonight. He is Lord. This is the reason we baptize in His name, is because He is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
He is
Hallelujah. I just heard something tonight about a minister friend and his wife that stands in need of our prayers. Amen. I'd like for you to remember this unspoken request. I'd like to bring you the name. I don't feel it's appropriate at this time. Praise God. I'd like for you to pray for them. The Lord would undertake for them, meet their need. I want to make the acquaintance of those that are visiting us tonight. And I hope that I can get to you before you leave. We would like to personally talk with you for a few moments and tell you how much we appreciate of having you in our service. If you know of anybody that would be interested in a home Bible study, we have a young man that is just anxious to work in somebody's home, he and his wife, to go in on a personal basis and just sit down and teach them some of the things that the Word of the Lord teaches in regards to the need of this world. And let me tell you, this world's a sick world. I've lived for the Lord some time now. I've preached in this church for 26 years. So I've lived for the Lord a few months now. But this world is really in need. It was sick when I was out there in the world. It was very sick. Amen. Amen. Sick 34 years ago. What's it like tonight? But I have found it so wonderful living for Him. He's never disappointed me. He's been a friend in all my need. He's comforted me when no one was there to comfort me. He's been a light in the midst of darkness. He's been a road when I couldn't even find the road. He's been a friend. He's loved me when I know I wasn't lovable. Hallelujah. Oh, this world's in need of Him. I never regret a day I've walked with Him. Up a hill, yes. But He went up a hill for me. A cross, yes. But He carried one for me. He not only carried one, but He was nailed to it after He carried it. So what's my cross amount to? He's done so much for me. A home better than I could provide in this world. Hallelujah. No wonder the writer said, where your treasures are, amen, that's where you're going to put all your labors. And so he said, lay them up in the kingdom of heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through to steal. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming again, my friend. He's coming again. What's He coming back after? A people that have taken on His name. A bride, a church. I'm thankful for that lovely name.
Oh, your sea.
Bible study. I want to teach next Wednesday night. I I hope that you can be here. It's a Bible study that I feel that after a few years living for God, of all my preaching and experiences, and a number of messages and sermons that have been preached to me, I'm a stickler for taking notes and jotting them down, because I want something to refer to when I'm in need. And one of them is given by a very great man. He's still living today. I saw him at General Conference. Amen. Brother Haskell Yaden. C.H. Yaden. Maybe some of you know Brother Yaden. He taught on this same subject a number of years ago. A few of the thoughts that he taught on will be some of the things I'll be picking up in this message I'll be teaching Wednesday night. Everybody wants to know the will of God. Everybody wants to know the will of God. Amen. Let me tell you, the devil breeds on illiteracy. Let me say it again. The devil breeds on illiteracy. If you don't know what to do, the devil can twist your mind. I've received a phone call not once but twice in the last few months from different people saying, I think that I've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I think there's no hope for me. I'm in misery day and night pleading for help. And I can only get it just a little bit at a time. I couldn't come right out and vehemently tell her that it was because of illiteracy. If you know the scripture, the devil can't twist you like that. Let me tell you, my friend, this right here is your most comforting thing you could ever latch on to. If you don't take time for it, you wish there was a day that you took time for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord bless you. We're going to bow our heads in prayer. We're going to dismiss. We're so thankful to have all of you in this service. I sure feel the Holy Ghost. If you have a need tonight, just obey God. I can't do any more than what I've done. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Dear Lord, we thank you tonight for your presence. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you tonight for the words of knowledge, upon the realization of this baptism of the water. And Lord, we want, Lord, not just to be a ceremony that is not of meaning to us, but God, we want it, Lord, to be a realization in our heart that we're buried with you into baptism, that we are taking upon the same responsibilities. We are taking upon the same light, that we can walk in that light and have fellowship one with another. We ask that the Word of God would continue to grow in us. Help us as we go our way this week. And Lord, that we can be a blessing to those around us. God, help us, Lord Jesus, to do your will and bring us back at the appointed time. We ask this in your name. We're going to have to give you praise. Amen.